You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Lily Bewley, and we talk about dating. I love this. Lily shares a story about a time in her life when she realized that she was repeating a pattern and that she wasn't getting the results that she wanted. So when she pitched this for the show, my actual thought was, ooh, I feel like I've had a transition conversation like this about so many other parts of life, but I don't feel like I've had this conversation with anybody about dating. And I was really excited to hear what she had to say. I'm going to tell you that Lily goes deep quick, like right off the bat. Question one, she goes right into inner work and alignment and some very deep topics. And then also in this conversation, because I'm me and this is my show, we do go off on a tangent where I bring up faith and relationship standards and all of those things. And also I ask Lily about dating apps. This is a fun conversation. It's a great story. I think you're going to love it. So let's get to it. Welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Lily Bewley, are you ready for a fun chat today?
Yes, of course, Amy. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, you are welcome. I start all my conversations with the very same question. What part of the world are you in today?
I am in Phoenix, Arizona, where my feet are cold, which poor me. I don't even know what the temperature is outside, but I can tell you my feet are cold, but poor me. Yes.
All right. So very good. So we're recording this at the beginning of winter. People are going to hear it sort of in deep winter. This is going to be a great question because Phoenix is not a cold climate, but let's talk about what you do with winter weather. What do you like the winter weather where you live? Did you move there to get out of the cold? How do you deal with cold, gray winter weather, or do you not get
that? I love the quote unquote winter weather here in Phoenix. We spend a lot of time outside, so it's a really beautiful time to be outside. The sun is always beaming and it's not like 1 million degrees outside, which we still do a lot of hiking and stuff, but I love it here. We sometimes take some road trips too, you know, up north in Phoenix. There can be snow and stuff like that, but I'm a little baby when it comes to snow now, so I really
totally
still enjoy the
sense.
Sun.
Yeah, no, it makes it. Well, you guys have sort of, it's reversed. So like during the summer, you have, it's really, really hot.
More
and
extreme.
That's the weather
yeah.
that you would be avoiding. It would be my guess, you know, hiding inside in the shade, hopping from little shade pocket to shade
a
pocket
lot
when
of
you go outside.
A lot of people do. We're a little bit more adventurous, I think, than most people, my partner and I, which we can talk about too, but we're a little bit more adventurous. We, especially him, but you know, I'll still go out there and hike in 100 plus and stuff like that, which is good to a point. But yeah, we'll still do it.
That's amazing. I am very impressed. All right. So you gave a little foreshadowing there, but today we are going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about love. And I think that what I'm calling this is alignment and identity, like relationships, alignment, and identity. So in your pitch to be on the show, you shared that for years, you thought you were doing everything right, but not getting the results you wanted. And so you made some changes. And I think that what you're talking about when you say that is maybe in dating. So are you ready to have that conversation with me today?
Always. I love love. And I love changing people's minds about dating too. I've been doing this for so long now, and I've gone through my own journey and my own process. I love talking about, like I said, love and dating, even though the common conversations about dating are about how much it sucks and all those things, which I don't believe.
All right. So we're going to do that. Let's start here. So you say that you were checking every box, but something inside you still felt off. And after another heartbreak, you realized you were repeating the same patterns in love and connection. So I'm curious, there are two sort of questions here. One is time frame, like how long ago was this? How old were you when this is happening? And then can you share with us like what your life looked like generally around that time? Like what was going on in your life at that point?
Oh, great questions. So I've always had, you know, talk about time frames. Like I've always had a big, beautiful, open heart, you know, always been loving and always been kind. So time frame wise, like I think these patterns actually started, actually I know these patterns started in childhood. They started with the models that I saw with from my mom and my dad about what a relationship was, which today, it's not very healthy, let's just say. Let's start there. And then there were some abuses and traumas, covert and overt, that I went through growing up as well. And so how long have these kind of unhealthy relationships, unfulfilling relationship patterns been around? Up until about 10 years ago, when I really started to do the inner work, on why I still kept repeating unhealthy patterns myself, but then I also kept attracting the same type of person with a different face, right? Like relationships where I never felt seen, I never felt heard, I never felt understood. Felt like I was always like screaming at the top of my lungs, but no one would hear me. And so timeline wise, like this is, I really feel like, I don't know if you're spiritual or God-centered or universe-centered or aligned in that way, but I really feel like that this was one of the lessons that I was born to learn, from my family lineage, from whatever kind of carrying, like whatever I was carrying from my past, is this is one of the things, one of my purposes for myself and my growth, that I was meant to learn. And it is about alignment and it is about identity. And so what did my life look like kind of before I made this transformation inside of myself? I'm good at things. Like I'm good. I'm a, straight A student. I'm good at making money. I'm good at being that corporate woman. I'm good at, kind of doing all of the things that fed this emptiness inside of me, right? Whether that be validation or achievement or again, straight A's or getting the man or going out and dating and just like like dating being this whole like just a validation game basically. So the all of these this emptiness I felt inside of myself, and I didn't realize that then, but all of these things were really about a root cause wound for me, which was, you are not enough. You are not worthy. You are not perfect as you are. So you need to go out and keep proving that to whoever and whatever comes your way. And I was good at it. Like when I'm telling, and I know women, that connect kind of this story of like, I did everything that I was supposed to do. I did all the
Yeah.
right things. I'm a good girl. I maybe have some quote unquote self-sabotaging behaviors, which I have a whole theory on that too. But I did all of the things that society and my parents and school and everything that told me to do, and I hit this point, but I was still unhappy, like literally dying inside of myself, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and all those things. And that's when I really started this whole transformation journey inside of myself and figuring out like, figuring out about my wounds and about my patterns and about the models that I have had seen, and went through this whole process and this whole journey. And that is really what I take, my people through, my women through, my community today, is again like alignment and identity is like really perfect, I think, for what I do, because one of the things that I pride myself on is the inner work and the transformation that I think is it's necessary to happen on the inside of yourself if you're wanting results on the outside of yourself. And we get past this point where we've hustled hard enough, we've worked hard enough to get to these places, and it just doesn't work. It just
Yeah.
does not work the way that everyone said it was going to, and the way that I thought it was going to. And so what that brings about is a point and a signpost of transformation. And I kind of help women through kind of the last legs of their healing journey, because it really takes a level of depth, and subconscious and unconscious kind of an intuition and knowing, and to really help women figure out who they are. Like what you're talking about with identity. And even though I do focus on dating and relationships, when people go out, like if you're dating or if you're in a relationship and people just tell you, oh, just go be yourself, and you really don't know who you are, like you're kind of either wearing a mask or like that's a subconscious thing, or you really and truly, maybe you're like me, like I was a chameleon. I could be the funniest person in the room. I could be the sexiest person in the room. I could, do all these things, but it really wasn't me at my core. And so unraveling and unlayering all of that really to get to your quote unquote identity, like who you are at your core, making that enough takes a lot of inner work and inner unraveling and kind of re-spooling the neural pathways and the nervous system regulation it takes to kind of get there.
All right, there was a lot in there. Oh my gosh. So what I learned was this was about 10 years ago is when this began to, okay. And so you talked about a lot of things. You talked about like the unspoken calendar and checklist that we get from, you know, growing up in society and magazines and movies and things like that, like how this is the implied formula for this is how you're happy. You talked about being a high achiever, I think is what we would call you, right? You're a high achieving woman. I have a question. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I'm the oldest.
I was going to ask you, that was the next question, because that is one of the tropes, which is like the oldest girl in the family goes through these things. It also sounds a little bit like, so we talked, you threw out some origin story stuff. And would you say that one of the things you've done is you're breaking a cycle? You're a cycle
Oh,
breaker.
completely. Absolutely. That is the purpose, is a transformational pattern breaker for sure.
And so, right. And one of the things about that that is implicit in that is that it's a lot harder to break a cycle until you see the pattern. And so, part of your story sounds like it is becoming aware of the patterns you were seeing. And not everybody does that. Not everybody needs to do that, but it sounds like you definitely needed to do that. So, 10 years ago, you were dating, is what you were doing. You were single and you were dating. And that's when this happened. Were you working in a job? Were you in school? Like, tell me more about
Yeah,
what was going on
I
in your
was
life
in,
for you.
corporate America and making that money, like
And doing the
network building,
staff.
and doing the things. I was actually in a relationship at that time, but I wouldn't even call that a relationship. It was definitely it, again, one of those relationships where I remember even saying to him, like, "You're not hearing me, you're not seeing me." And just so, kind of being in this situation where, again, supposed to be fulfilled, but completely unfulfilled at the same time.
Yeah, so I'm a person, I believe, and this is not my idea, but I share it as something that I do think is true, that I do really think that almost everybody has a deep inner desire to be seen, like feel like the people around them see them. That's like a safety thing. And also that whole thing, you know, be heard and understood as we see ourselves, right? Like, and so when they're, I think that can be confusing for a lot of people, but when you said that, you were like, I feel like I'm shouting from the rooftops and I'm not being heard. And my guess would be that you were showing up, but it wasn't landing because of a bunch of things. Like communication is so much more complicated than we think it is. And we don't do a great job, in my opinion, of training each other to have like sort of relationship conversations. We do a really good job of training people how to raise their hand and answer questions and show up and check out boxes. But it can be when you get in that conversation about how to tell somebody, hey, why don't you hear me the way I want you to? That's something that most people don't have a lot of training in.
I can add some color to that with, probably the type of women that listens to your show, Amy, are very smart, and they
I think
feel,
so because they listen
I
to
would
me. Yes.
think so, right? Which means you're smart as well, from my experience. And a lot of women believe that they are good at communicating, and that's what they're looking for, in a mate or in a relationship, or it doesn't even have to be love. It could be in a job
Yes.
or family, friends. And it's very nuanced, but communicating is, from what I've learned, communicating is less about what you're feeling and more about what your needs are. And that is the hardest part, especially for us people who have been through some stuff in our life, like trauma, abuse, all those things. It is very hard to distinguish, number one, what are my needs and what are someone else's needs? Number two, do I have needs? Because likely I've been in either in bad relationships in the past, or I've been bottled bad relationships, or if my childhood was dysfunctional and I had, again, covert or overt, abuse or trauma, then it's very hard to distinguish what your needs are. And then the last step with that is actually being able to express them in a way that is completely and totally yours. And that is hard. And people, that's where things really start to change, is because people say, I want to be seen and I want to be heard. Yes, I get that. And there are some core wounds in that conversation about, do I have needs? What are my needs? Do my needs have to do with other people, or do they have to do with me? That's the real up level and the
Yeah.
upskill that I see a lot of smart women teetering on the edge of. Again, I'm good at communicating, but why do I get ghosted so much in dating?
So I've never done the dating sort of thing, but one of the things that I have in my bag of tricks is that I went actually through mediator training, and I used to help people who are engaged in like these high conflict, complicated families. And when we talk about communication, like you're saying, and like one of the things the mediator does is move the conversation forward, right? And it's a third party and you're supposed to be impartial. But like it's one of those things that it's like sometimes I would find myself helping somebody and they were like, I need to be heard. I want to be heard. And then there's a follow-up question is like, which is from the other side. It's like, okay, so yes, what do you actually need them to hear and why? And what do you want them to do with this information? And that's not out of a dating scene, but it's like, do you just want them to know? Do you want them to acknowledge it? Do you want them to take a billboard out in Times Square that they understand your opinion? Do you want somebody to agree with you and tell you you're right? Like, what are you looking for
Or say
here?
sorry,
Right, say
or
sorry.
yeah,
Oh my
like,
gosh, to ask for an apology, tell somebody you
oh
want
my,
them to apologize. That's like, but on the flip side, and this is like my joke that I used to make all the time. Like, I really do wish that people in my life were mind readers. They just aren't. Like, if I'm going to actually need to tell
no,
them what I need them to do. If
yeah,
I'm standing around, yes, yeah.
and talking about imperfectly adulting, if we want people, especially as adults.
Yeah.
If you are in the digits where you are an adult and you should have access to your prefrontal cortex, if you are wanting people to intuit your needs, that is exactly from where I sit, that is the wound that you need to heal.
Oh, that's
Because
very good. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. So if you're waiting for your teenager to empty the dishwasher and you don't tell them, you might be waiting a while.
yeah,
You just might be
for
waiting a while. They just don't
sure.
know. They're gonna they believe in the dishwasher fairy. They're just moving along through their life just happy as can be, and you're stewing in your own resentment. Yeah. All right. So very good. So you've got a lot of things going on here. Before you made this change, and you were in a relationship, what would, if I had run into you then and we had talked about like, what are your goals in a relationship? What did you think that the object of dating and finding a relationship, like what would success have looked like? What would you have said before you went through this transformation?
I don't even think I would have the capacity to answer that question, to be honest. I think you would have seen a woman that you liked, a
Okay.
woman that was bubbly and friendly. But if you're really, really intuitive, she had a hint of sadness in her.
Yeah.
Again, because it's a lot of work to keep on these masks. It's a lot of work to go through life and be the eternal, like I was the, I'm like, man, I should have become a mediator after talking to you, because I literally was a mediator in my family. I was the adult in my family, right? Through childhood, like I literally mediated arguments between my parents, right? And so all of that pressure to manage people, to manage the universe, to not only and manage yourself and your goals and everything like that. Again, if you are not in alignment, if you all the different parts of you are not in alignment again with who you are, if your behaviors, your actions, your beliefs, your thoughts, and your emotions don't line up with I am enough and I can let that go, or I am enough and I can not do this kind of self-sacrificing thing that I've done through my whole life, then again, that there's a there would have been, again, if you were really intuitive, a hint of like sadness and forlornness and loss, like a feeling of hopelessness and loss. But you would have liked me, right? Because that was what I was good at. Like I'm very good at, I always thought that I was an extrovert, but really I'm an introvert and very intuitive. And I'm sure people on the show would probably understand, like being in quote unquote empath, for example. But it didn't feel safe to be me. And so, because it didn't feel safe emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually to be me, I had to be somebody else to get love, to get really anything to fill me up. The other thing that would be, I would say, the really big jump and difference between that timeline is purpose. Literally, again, I think that is one of God's like big kind of signposts for me, is you need to figure this out in this lifetime. Which I feel like of course I'm not always there, but I'm definitely on the path. Like I'm on the journey to being, to like you said, a pattern breaker, a transformational character in my family, which I have been, and it has been so rewarding. And I think when I say purpose, I don't mean everyone has to become a coach, everyone has to be a therapist. When I say purpose, I believe that what that means, the way I see like God or universe or spirit, is again being in alignment with yourself, being like alignment, again, perfect alignment and identity. And it's so much harder than just those words. Because, yeah, go ahead.
No, so there's, so would you have described, now knowing what you know, and the work you've done, you use the word chameleon. Would you also say like people pleasing? This is like
Oh, yeah.
you developed a pattern of behavior to show up the way you thought other people wanted and needed you to be,
Lots of
and that
labels
was
on
the
that
right.
one. Yeah,
All
like
right, so
codependency, all the things.
all the things, you've clearly done some work. You've got the vocabulary showing up with all the buzzwords. But the okay, so you're going through this. Did you come about this realization on your own, or were you working with a therapist or reading books, or how did you begin to see that it was your behavior and the way you were showing up that turned you into turning, looking inward, I think is the words you use, looking inward at
Yeah.
yourself. Like what was going on in your life that was like the catalyst to say, okay, let me work on this.
It was kind of a combination of all the things. I mean, again, it got like literally got to this point where I hit a glass ceiling inside of myself and realized that this whole paradigm that I was sold, basically this whole paradigm that I was sold, which is again what you're calling checking the boxes and getting all the things done, high achiever, blah 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 blah, wasn't working. So that was when it was like a universal, like, little pat on the butt, like we need to go a different direction. I didn't know what that direction was at the time. I only knew that what I was doing wasn't working. And that is a very scary spot to be, but also can be very transformational if you can step in with courage. You can find the reason why you want to do this, which I did, and it just kind of came to me, like my quote purpose, I guess at that time, my why was when I started to read the books and listen to the podcasts and get therapy and all those things. I started to learn about all of these things. Like codependency was probably the biggest one that when I first started this whole journey, and I began to talk about that, and my reason to keep going, even though it was uncomfortable, even though it made my family uncomfortable, even though all those things, was my niece and nephew. And that if I could change things about myself, then I could help them change and not have the same pain. When I mean pain, I mean like, ugh, like excruciating emotional pain and emotional heartbreak, physical pain, putting myself in danger in some respects, all of these things. So I when I started to learn these things about myself and it started to make sense, then I kept going. Like I really kept going because it's not like I saw things instantly change, but when I started to put things together, I really like, women in this work, I don't know if you are the same way, but women in this work are like, I can't unsee what I see. Like I can't
Yeah.
unknow what I know.
They call
And so
that like the
that
lifting of the veil sometimes.
Yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
lifting of the veil.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing, if I understand correctly, is like you were having these experiences and you were on a journey yourself. So you were reading books, you were listening to podcasts. It sounds like you did some work with a therapist. And that's how you found your way to do this, as opposed to the other option being, you're sitting under the cherry tree in the gar or in your garden, and you're just like, ta-da, this is the path forward. You figure it out by yourself. But you were doing some searching, looking for solutions, and that was part of the thing that it took there. All right. So then the next part of that question is, was there anything specific about this heartbreak that happened like 10 years ago that like caused it to happen at that time? Or was that just a moment that was sort of like the building of all of the things that had happened to then that it just came to a head and you were like, oh, something's got to change?
Specifically, like I remember like the first time that I heard God's voice through that specifically, It was on like on my birthday, and my again, I was in a relationship, and but again, never didn't feel seen or heard or all the things. And we got in a fight or something on my birthday, and I was just so distraught, so sad, you know, just again, like didn't understand. Like it's very confusing when your whole paradigm is about to shift. And that's what makes it scary. That's what makes like courage when we bring women into our programs, we specifically ask them, are you willing to step forward with me into a place that you had never been before? Even if the place that you know is causing you pain, right? Because that takes a lot of courage. And so, yeah, I mean, like I remember that night, the thing that really kind of like the specific thing is that was the first time that I was thought about suicide and acted on
Okay.
suicide. And so, like, literally was holding the gun in my hand, and God was like, there's a better way. And then I set it down, put it back in the drawer, and then step by step, like, I didn't know the way. I didn't know the path. My family does not, like, I don't know if you know a family like this, but we don't talk about things. We don't talk about anything. We talk, it's all secret and silent and everything like that. So I literally did not have a path. I did not have a mentor. I did not have a woman that became the woman that I am today. Like, I didn't have any of that other than this is not it. And so that was kind of the catalyst. And again, this was like way back in, you know, at the very beginning of Baby Lily's journey. And I've come obviously a long way since then, but that
Yeah.
was kind of the big moment where God was like, this is not the way. And I
Okay.
literally heard his voice, and I had never heard his voice before. So
So
that
let's
was.
talk a little bit about faith and stuff like, because you're using the word God, and you can just sort of describe what you're
Yeah, totally.
because the show is not, you know, secular, and there's no so, but I always like to call it out so that people know what the guests are like. Did you grow up in a faith-based community? Are you a faith-based person now? Like, is it like where do you weigh in on this with regard to what you do?
Yeah, faith. I mean, for me today, faith is, I mean, it's everything. It's universe, it's love. It's, I mean, when I say God, I mean basically all that is. I mean, you know, universe, love, spirit, higher power, whatever that is. Just it's
Okay.
something bigger than me, basically.
So, but not like tied to a specific doctrine
No,
or.
I mean, I call myself Christian. And I do coach a lot of Christian women. But again, it's more from an agape for me. My relationship is more of an agape, you know, larger universal, I guess, paradigm of faith, which
Okay.
is like that question of like, where did you grow up? I did not grow up like that
Okay, no,
by
yeah.
any means, by any means. And in fact, it was religion, quote unquote, was kind of shunned in my household. There was some dabbling in like a like Southern Baptist, because I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. And like getting to a place today where again, God helped me meet my man. Like literally, he helped me meet my man. And there have been a lot of like little things along the way that have shown me that my relationship with him doesn't have to be scary. My relationship with love or spirit or universe doesn't have to be scary. I don't have to perform for him. So there's a lot, like there's probably a whole other podcast that, you know, that we could talk about, but that's like again, my relationship with faith is all about, for me, it's all about purpose, right? Which is what I do. But the crazy thing, Amy, about my relationship with God today is that again, I went from not having anything or any relationship, and basically religion being shunned in my household, and then that's kind of, you know, that pattern would have gone forward, where I went to this kind of like independent mode where people would ask, well, like, what do you believe in? And I would say, I believe in myself, and that was it, right? And then went to this point where I can freely talk about something like this, that there is a lot of trauma, you know, a religious trauma for me in the past as well.
So yeah, because a lot of times the reason I bring, thank you for answering that because I know it's kind of a weird question. And today in this episode, we'll go live in 2026. Religion can be a big part of people's lives, and there's overlap between identity and specifically like what's an appropriate relationship look like that overlaps religion. And so I appreciate you talking about it because my where I weigh in as the host is I talk to like a zillion different people coming from all different types of places. So I just like to draw it out so there's no confusion, like so that people know what's going on. Because sometimes you can be listening to a conversation and you're like, I like this, but I don't actually know whether or not we have alignment in what we're
Yeah,
talking
like
about.
what
And you
does
just,
she mean by God?
right,
Yeah,
exactly. And
yeah.
then you just need to know, it's like, oh, is this my room or is that my room? Because there's no, and you know, so, and it's even more complicated these days. And so instead of like, using like euphemisms and stuff, I started a long time ago. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna bring the question right out. It's like, what are you talking about here with it? What
Yeah.
does this mean? So that everybody knows. And I appreciate you
Love that.
answering it. You'd mentioned this, and I'll ask about it, and then we'll move on from that. But I'll mention it and go from that. You mentioned that you changed part of this transition was from performing life to living it. And so I'd love to hear more about what you mean by performing life so that people understand that, because I think that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, so again, it's especially I feel like as women, you know, I don't know the men's experience, but I know as women, there's so much to that question. There are parts of us that believe that we have to be bright and shiny. We have to be a certain way. We have to be a certain weight. We have to have a certain number in our bank account. And there is definitely a transactional, whether you know it subconsciously or consciously, or whether it's subconscious, and I'm helping you bringing it to the conscious right now. But most women are in this transactional relationship with self, with love, and with performing, meaning a transactional relationship. If I'm sexy, then I'll get love.
Okay. All right. Yep.
If I'm a good girl at work, then I will be praised. So these are all, you know, this is kind of the work that we do on my side of things, which is finding out what these root cause wounds are and really healing them. So, you know, just being and living life, like, what woman does not want to be loved for who she is rather than what she does? And most women are loved by what they do. And that is only because the reason that it is your responsibility is because these are conditional things that have happened to you in your life, probably from childhood, probably continuing up through your relationship and relationship patterns, where again there are healing opportunities there about that. So you can't just be like, well, Lily just said that I should just go and live my life and I'm going to be happy. No, because if you were able to do that, you would have already done it by now. So there are some deeply rooted things happening in your brain, in your body, in your spirit, in your mind, in your soul that are telling you, again, whether you know them or whether you don't, that there's a transactional relationship between performance and worth, performance and love, performance and money, or whatever it is. When in reality, there's a lot of scarcity wounding happening with women these days, meaning scarcity wounding, meaning if I'm not sexier than this other girl, then she's going to get the man. And that's just scarcity, right? Or if I don't perform better than this other person, the project manage, you know, the project that I'm doing at work, then I'm going to get fired or blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to get the bonus or whatever it is, right? And there's a lot of unraveling that we have the opportunity to do to actually realize, and not just like saying it, not just like affirming this in the mirror and be like, well, I believe that the world is abundant. That doesn't work for people like us who have been through some stuff where everything in our life confirms that the world is actually scarce. And so our work is to do the inner work to actually believe in our core that whatever it is that we're searching for, whether that be love or whether that be more money or alignment or purpose or what have you, is actually available to us. Because having it available to us right now, if you're seeing patterns that you don't like in your life, having that kind of life, like just living life, isn't available to you because for some reason it's scary. And that's
Yeah.
the work that we have to do. But
So,
we
and
don't have to.
I'd love to think, and I think that I don't know how old you are, but I'm 52. Like, I'd love to think that these things are not going to happen to the younger people who are coming up in their 20s and stuff. But the research is, the evidence is that while our benchmarks were different earlier in the day, today with social media, people are comparing themselves with like the Instagram version of the celebrity that they see every day. So it's a different sort of spot where it comes, but it's like, oh, I'll give you an example. Like, because all the actresses who play teenagers are actually 18, 19 years old, you've got 15-year-olds who are dressing up to look like that. They think their bodies should look like that, but it's not a real objective. It's not possible. You're still only weigh 75 pounds. You can't look like a 21-year-old woman, let me, what's one of the shows that does it? What's the Bridgerton, right? Those actresses are in their 20s playing like people who are supposed to be 15, 16 years old, right? So it's a disconnect. So if you're comparing yourself to that, of course you're never going to meet up and you're never going to get to that standard. All right. So I love that you went into that. All right. So today, you have mentioned this a couple of times. Today you were a dating coach. I presume, although call me in if this is not correct, that when you had a corporate job, it was maybe not as a dating coach, that was in some other industry. Okay, so how did you decide to go from being someone who had a job and was not getting the results you wanted in your own life to putting yourself out in the world as a dating coach?
My journey. I mean, my journey is what really fuels me. Having things in my life that parts of me never really thought that was possible, based on, again, my examples and based off the things that I was going through, based off the patterns that kept repeating and recurring. The journey, the and it's the inner healing journey, if we haven't gotten to that part, is yes, I do focus on dating. And the thing that makes me different is, if anyone's dating, in your audience, or if you are, if you go to your friends and your family, or even therapists or coaches or anything like that, what they will focus on is what everything outside of you. Like, change your dating profile. This picture doesn't look so good on your dating profile. Or I always got the advice was like, don't go too deep on the first date, or just go be yourself, or follow your heart, or follow your gut. And again, that doesn't work if you're seeing patterns that are not fulfilling to you. For example, ghosting, not feeling seen and heard in relationships, self-sacrificing, self-abandoning, perfectionism, control, like all of these things are really about you. So what I do, again, and this is, again, mirrors this process that I went through myself to attract the best man that I have ever known in my life, a man that all men before him were unsafe. And he's the safest man that I've ever met, and he's with me. And parts of me sometimes still don't even believe that he's even here. I mean, we've been together for a long time. And becoming this woman, we have this framework, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, which is called the feminine dating archetypes. And there's this phase in the kind of the final phase. It's where you get the gold medal, but for real, because you're yourself. It's called the magnetic woman. And so I became this version of myself that had always been inside of me, called it, we call it the magnetic woman in my communities. That really attracts and is a beacon to all of the good things, like love, money, alignment, opportunities, all of those things. And it is about, anything that we're seeing on the outside of ourselves, there's a direct reflection of, there's something happening on the inside of you or us. Like, for example, ghosting, again, ghosting. If you're seeing ghosting in your dating life, there is almost 100% chance that you are ghosting yourself in some way. And we don't know what that is.
Oh, all right. That's an interesting thing. I hadn't thought about it like that. But yes, like they always, it's like what you treat. Well, this is, it's like the tricky thing. Like it's like the way we show up for other people is almost always the, or not always, always. That's like a massive oversimplification, but frequently is the way we're hoping that people will show up for us. So like if you cook for people to make them happy, if you invite people over, you're also probably like hoping that people will cook for you and invite you over. So the ghosting, I'd never heard anybody use it with the ghosting, because that's like a, a very modern sort of situation. Okay, so we're going to talk. You're a dating coach. That's totally it. You have a quiz that people can take. You call it the Feminine Dating Archetype Quiz. I'm going to put the notes for the link for that in the show notes, which people can get. And everybody who subscribes to my email list, they get it zapped to them in their email box. It's always the easiest way. I'm going to jump to the rapid fire questions and let you do all those things. But I have one more question, which is just for people, again, clarification for the people listening. Like, you are a woman, you're in a relationship with a man, you mostly work with women as a coach. Is it the kind of thing where you're only working with people in like boy-girl relationships, heteronormative type things, or are you open to all kind of relationships?
Yeah, good question. Most of my clients are heteronormative, although I do have clients that are kind of actually on the fence, which is funny
Curious,
because,
yeah.
yeah,
Discovery,
which is
yeah.
curious because, again, we're talking about core, we're talking about
Yeah.
root inside of ourselves, which is about identity, right? Like, it's about, like, who am I? What do I want? And so the work, again, the work isn't so much like until we get really, really, our programs are really focused on building the foundation inside of yourself first. And then we do have systems and processes where we do help women go out and date and attract what they want and, make dating fun and safe and all those things. But without the foundational work, those patterns are going to continue to repeat. So,
So I
yeah.
skipped
So,
one question. I'm going to totally jump in here
yeah,
and
go
throw
ahead.
it in because I love it and I don't want to not ask it. So the dating apps are a thing. That is the way people do it. But the people I know who are on dating apps, they hate it. They're still on them, I think. I think they're still on them. It's like they love them and hate them. So do you think, this is put on your fortune teller hat. I'm not going to hold you to this, like just your opinion. But do you think that fast forward like 2 years, 5 years, do you think dating apps are still going to be as popular as they have been for the past 5 years? Or are people just going to be like, this doesn't work anymore and do something else?
I don't know. That's hard for me to kind of to foreshadow, but I will say that for those women that do agree that dating sucks and the dating apps suck, here's my call out and call up to that is that it's not that dating sucks, it's that your experience with dating sucks. So the question is, how do you change your experience? And again, people don't understand what that means, but I'm telling you, after doing this myself through my journey and taking clients through the same process, it doesn't have to be as bad as it is, because I know, like, I went through the whole delete and I call it the delete and download cycle, like getting really excited and then like getting annoyed and frustrated and blah, 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 and all the things, and then shutting it down for a few months and then going back. And like, I did that so many times. And also, I felt like I was like project managing the dating apps. I had so many messages. It was so,
Yeah, that's
so much energy, all those things. It doesn't have to be that way. And so for someone just to come in and say, well, I don't do dating apps, which I host master classes like every 3 weeks, and that is always a question. Like, I don't do dating apps. And my question is, why?
Yeah.
Well, they're not fun. And okay, why are they not fun? Well, some people ghost me. Okay, that makes sense. Like, sorry to hear that's happening to you. Tell me more about that. And what ends, if we get the deeper that we get, we actually see the pattern inside of them that are even inviting those types of people into their lives. Because these women, and this was me, like, women don't trust herself to pick the right person. So why would they get on a dating app when there are lots of, potentially available people? Because you don't trust yourself to pick the right person. A lot of women are disconnected from their intuition. So how do they know who is going to be right for them and who is not? And of course, like, dating apps are not perfect, but when I, the way that I utilized the dating apps is I used them for practice inside of myself. Because again, I am a woman, and the women that come to me are ready to break patterns. So in order to break patterns, there needs to be repetition and consistency over a period of time. And so
Okay.
literally, to rewire your brain, your body, and your nervous system, that is what needs to happen. And so most of my clients will take on that. They don't have to. And what ends up happening, this has happened time and time again, it's happened with me, is that when he came to me, or when God, like, God gave us the invitation, I was ready. I would not have been ready had I not used the dating apps for practice. Practice about what? I'm sure the questions are going to be, which is, again, learning to trust yourself, learning who is good for you and who is not, like almost immediately, rather than 3 or 4 months down the road where you're already kind of like attached and you still don't know if this person is like walking with you. You don't know anything, right? And so it's about speaking up. It's about boundaries. It's about saying what you need and you want and you desire and seeing how they respond to that. And that is all, like, the dating apps for me are just this like practice ground to really, really becoming and seeing how people react to, again, your alignment and your identity.
As you were saying that, I was reflecting. So I don't know if you, so Sex and the City was a show back in the day, and then they have the new one, which the name I can't like, and Just Like That was the name of it. And I didn't actually watch the whole thing, but there was a clip going on social media, which was one of the characters, and she was sitting at the bar, and there was a series of guys that came up, and it was like rapid fire date. And she's like, I know you, and she was telling them about themselves and nailing it. She's like, you're here under, like, that's not actually your name, and you're here because you have a mommy issue and stuff. It was really a funny thing. And that's when you said, like, know what you want, know how you're doing. That was the scene that popped into my mind, not related to
Final.
anything that you do or anything like that, but that was what came up. All right, so you have a quiz. I mentioned that, the feminine dating archetype quiz. We're going to do the final questions. Do go ahead and tell people the name of your business and a shout out to your podcast, because I know you have a show.
Sure, yeah. Again, I'm Lily Bewley, the dating coach for finding love. I do have the podcast, the Lily Bewley podcast. And then, as you're going to put the link to the feminine dating archetype quiz, I invite anyone there. That's a good jump off point to kind of to connect with me too.
Fantastic. All right. So, Lily, are you ready for the final questions, the rapid fire questions?
Let's go.
These make me so happy. They're just for fun. All right. Very good. Which do you find more inspirational and inspiring and enjoyable, watching a sunrise or a sunset or neither?
Sunrise for sure.
Sunrise. There you go. All right. Do you buy things online? Like, are you an online shopper? I actually don't know anybody who isn't these days, but it's possible. What is the last thing you purchased for yourself?
Ooh, blue blocker glasses from Amazon.
Oh, really? All right, very good.
Yes,
Have
I'm
to
going
let
through
me
this
know
whole
how those.
transition. Through this whole transition with my body, and part of this is really getting into a system with sleep. And so that was one of the tools that I'm going to try to use.
Yeah, it is. It's like a, once you get on the whole thing about trying to get rid of the blue light and all the things like that, it's like a whole process. And it's I'll touch base with you in a couple months. You'll let me know how it's going. All right, so today, everywhere I go and every purchase I make, I feel like I am asked to leave a tip. Like everything from like the yogurt shop, and this morning it happened to me in the coffee shop. Sometimes I tip, other times I find myself in this spot like, I'm not actually sure if this is a tippable thing that I don't even know. It's all very unclear. Do you consider yourself a generous tipper? And are there any situations where you just have a hard and fast line like, this is an always tip and this is a never tip?
Well, I have a big background in the restaurant industry, so those are my people, and it's hard work out there.
It
It's
is.
hard
No,
out there.
it's
It's
like
hard
I
out
always tip
there.
the server.
Yeah, it's hard out there, being with the general public and all of their energies and all the things and all that. And so, when I this is a long answer, probably to a short question, but when I feel resistance about that coming up in my body, it's probably because I feel like I'm being pushed or I'm being manipulated or something like that. And typically I won't if that's the case, but more often than not, like even if I'm getting takeout, I'll tip a little here, a little there. I believe energy in, energy out, right? The constant flow of energy and money is energy for me. And so, I even, talk about God and religion, like we do the tithing, everything like that. So, I'm definitely on board with, giving thanks, whether
Yeah.
that be seen or whether that not be seen.
100%. I will say, like, when I do a self-serve thing, like, so if you're in a self, so I was in a self-serve like yogurt thing, like I did all the work and then I got there and I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't, like, where's this tip gonna go? Because it was like a credit card. I was like, is it going to the kid behind the counter? Like, and I just am always like, I'm not sure how this works these days. That's where that question came from. And I love your very thoughtful answer. Thank you so much for taking that so seriously. That's it, Lily Bewley. Thank you for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate you.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.